And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football and NFL. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Kenny Brown. How you doing?
All right, for full disclosure, this we're recording this on Tuesday.
Why are we doing that?
Well, on Monday, we had recorded a full podcast, but technical difficulty happened, and it was summarily erased. And the gems of wisdom that we had yesterday have gone now into the cloud or wherever they go when they leave the computer. So we're going to do this again, which is maybe better because we have more information since Monday that we'll be adding into this podcast. And our thoughts, we had 24 hours to think about some of the idiotic things we said yesterday, Mike.
We said something idiotic.
Well, we could have. But anyway, it's going to be less about the game Sunday because now you're in the middle of the week almost and you really don't care about the games. We'll talk briefly about the two games we
had
Sunday.
Wait a minute. I got to throw away all my notes?
Yeah, throw away those notes. But first, I want to talk about one thing that we can talk about the game Sunday. Smart football players win games, and the NFL has a quarterback problem, and they need to address and go back to when they used to have the emergency quarterback, because I can guarantee in New York up in the tower where they're talking, they don't want to see any more games where a functioning quarterback is not available for a team in a big game like that.
Well, you're just assuming that Josh Johnson was going to get hurt too. I mean, this, you know, I pretty much agree with you on this, by the way. I just don't like it, that's all.
Well, it's the coach's fault in a way, and then it's the Players Association.
It's not.
No, I'm going to tell you why it's the coach's fault. You have your roster. You can keep three quarterbacks, but they feel that that last spot is so beneficial to winning on Sunday. That special teams guy that they're going to put on the roster on Sunday morning, the last guy that gets about five or six snaps a game, is more important than keeping a third quarterback. And I disagree. The league before made you keep that emergency quarterback, which was – that forced them to keep it, and which was good because of a situation that happens. And the situation doesn't happen all the time. I understand it. But when it does happen like Sunday, it's to me, that's a big embarrassment to the league.
Well, just one thing on the five snaps. It's way more snaps than that on special teams now, unless it's the kicker and the punter, but it's way more. You're getting up into the high teens, low 20s.
But does the last guy get that many, Mike?
Somebody like Anthony Pittman of the Detroit Lions.
Well, he's not the 40. Yeah. He's not the last guy on the roster. It'd be like that Jamara Williams guy that was the D-back. He was the last guy on the roster. I looked at his stats that game, that Minnesota game. I think he had like four or five plays. That was it.
Well, any one of those four or five plays can win or lose a game.
Oh, because now you're thinking like a coach. I'm thinking like a businessman. I'm thinking the money that you're making on this league is from your TV product. So you better produce a good product. And having a quarterback for the last half of a game that can't throw is not good for your product.
No, it's not good for your product. And if that is, you're talking about a rare event now. This is not something that's happening.
I understand that, but you got to prepare for these things. And that's that.
Prepare for the
to
rare
me,
events.
The NFL Players Association and the league should come together and say, okay, look, we'll bite the bullet. We'll go back and have a third quarterback emergency guy in. Only comes in and the other two guys are hurt. And I'll add that as an extra roster spot. And every team will supplement the $400,000 or whatever it costs to keep a guy on the roster that long. Maybe you can even make it a salary position, a $400,000 a year position, third quarterback, whatever it is. $400,000 in the realm of things to keep everything above board and have that emergency guy is not a lot of money.
Well, I don't think that would work. I mean, I think whatever the minimum salary would be, and it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, I said, but they could probably negotiate it down to higher than. Keep saying what they can't. They can do anything they want. They negotiate.
No.
They can do anything they want.
I just don't think with the agreement between the players and the owners, I don't think you can start cutting salaries. But that's the least of it. The idea is you want a genuine quarterback on the roster, at least available, sort of like the second goalie in hockey, something like that.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, they'll figure it out in the offseason. I'm sure the competition committee will have a meeting, and they'll have a meeting on the meeting and a meeting on the meeting's meeting. And by next fall, they'll decide that we're going to take a look at it. And 2 years from now, they'll add a third quarterback. But that's the way the NFL is. But if I guarantee you, if they could make a dollar off of it, though, they'd have it in. They'd be ready for the Super Bowl. If they could find a way to sponsor it, it'd be three quarterbacks on every roster for the Super Bowl.
Kenny, I think this is one of your ideas, which is pretty good, and it will never happen, ever.
Might not, but I think something's going to happen with that, Mike. I know they were embarrassed by that game Sunday. It was an embarrassment to a billion-dollar league.
Look, there have been plenty of games in the history of the National Football League that ended up 31-7, or one team just got overmatched. That's happened before. This is the first time that's happened. We've had Super Bowls where teams got beat 52-10.
It wasn't the score. It wasn't the score. It was the fact that once John Johnson goes down, essentially that game was over.
I think it was over before
it might have been, but I'm saying it was for sure over when you got a quarterback that can't throw. Like I said, I'm not going to belabor the point. We'll get back with that. But
you've already belabored the point.
No, I'm putting it out there because this needs to happen. Now,
we've already reached the belabor stage.
Speaking on quarterbacks, I, for one, I'm just going to do a quick recap of both games. First game, I didn't see much, so it was over, done. 49ers are the bad luck slip rock team of the year when you got, four quarterbacks injured or three quarterbacks injured in a year. I mean, that was just bad luck for them. And they got to the conference championship game, so you got to give them credit for that. But, man, they've been so close to winning that Super Bowl, even since Harbaugh was there, that it's just like all the good luck they had in the 80s with Joe Montana and Steve Young in the 90s, now they're getting, snake bit with these last runs they've had because they've had teams good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I'd say just one thing, though. They would have won five Super Bowls in a span of, 15 years, something like that. It started right out here in Detroit at the Pontiac Silverdome in the 1981 season. But I would say it was more good and great playing than it was good luck.
No, I'm talking about that they had fortune in. They've had bad fortune the last few runs. And that's all, it evens out. It all evens out.
All I'm saying is I'm not attributing what they did winning those five championships to luck.
I'm not saying luck, but I'm saying that they were their quarterbacks stayed healthy those first, that first run. And now the quarterbacks have been hurt the last runs. Garoppolo was hurt all the time. And they picked them, so you pick guys that got hurt. But that team's close to winning a championship.
Absolutely.
They are close.
Absolutely.
Now, on the other game, Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT of quarterbacks. Now, I don't hear about Tom Brady. I don't hear about anybody else. Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT right now of quarterbacks in the league. And Joe Burrow kind of disappointed me in that game. For all the talking they were doing and everybody during the week saying that he was going to be the best quarterback in the league this week in Burrowhead Stadium and everything, played an all right to average game. I just thought that maybe he wasn't ready for it yet or they're trying to push too much on him too fast. He's only his third year, but he didn't play the way I expected him to play. Took too many chances. Just didn't play the way I expected.
No, I thought he played probably 45 minutes of pretty good ball and 15 minutes where he was by far the second best, by far the number two quarterback in that game, by far.
Yeah. Like I said, Patrick Mahomes wasn't even 100%. Not even close. Patrick Mahomes is
– No, but that was a terrific the way he played, that's they're going to be talking about that for years to come. Really, one man won that game for the Kansas City Chiefs. One man, and that was Patrick Mahomes.
And Kansas City, as quiet as this, what's this, five straight Final Four appearances for them?
That's third Super Bowl. Yep.
Yeah, five and two Super Bowls, and if he wins this one, that'll be two.
Talking about dynasty.
Yeah, you're talking dynasty if he wins this one, but even. To me, the Buffalo Bills not winning one of those Super Bowls hurts it, but that was a dynasty to me. When you go to four straight Super Bowls, that's a dynasty.
Four straight, absolutely.
And the one that you should have won was a kick that should have been made. So it really hurts them not winning one, but that was a dynasty to me. When you get to four in a row, that's tough. So Kansas City moves on. Philadelphia moves on. My first, and we'll get to it next week or whatever, but my first appearance is, I don't think Jalen Hurt played a great game, and I don't know if he's still hurt or not, but I right now, man, it's a toss-up to me who can win this game. I'm not ready to pick either team.
You know why? If I was going to pick a team right now, I'd pick Kansas City. But that's because they made the biggest impression on me. But I got 12 days now to really come back to earth on this and analyze it a little bit more. I mean, you can overanalyze the Super Bowl. That's one of the things that the extra week to prepare. That's one of the things it does. You can talk yourself into and out of everything in 12 days.
But, especially starting next Monday. Because when you got the 2 weeks in between, and Mike, you covered a lot of them, 31, and I covered 7 at least. And that week, when you get there on Monday, your mind can be changed by Thursday afternoon. Forget about Friday and Saturday. By Thursday, you done heard so much stuff that you're ready to change your mind on things. Then when the team you had picked on Monday, and Mitch Albom, the host of my show, he always says, take a pick the day when those four games are over, those last two games are over. Picked in and don't change your mind, because he said everything will change your mind in that next 2 weeks, and you'll be right when you picked originally. So,
well, the only thing I'd add to that is make sure you're not making up your mind on a player who's injured, because injuries do play a role.
Injuries do play a role, right? And so it'll be fun to talk about that next week. Other things that are going on. This is I saw this yesterday, Mike. Oh, I got a trivia question for you. And we did this yesterday, so you know the answer, but I'm just putting it out there so I don't forget. So don't pretend like you're hearing this for the first time, Mike.
Hearing what?
Okay. Whenever a quarterback goes to the Super Bowl and loses the first time, in the last 20 years, close to 20 years, they've never got back to another Super Bowl. And this goes to Joe Burrow not being able to get back yet to the Super Bowl because he lost his first time he was there. And there's been a lot of quarterbacks in the last 20 years. Who were the last two quarterbacks that lost their first Super Bowl but did go get back to the game? I think there's been four total.
So it's Dan Marino is one of the four, right?
No, Dan Marino never got back.
That's what I said.
No, it's more than four. It's like 12 or 13 quarterbacks that haven't done it. I said there's four that have lost their first Super Bowl and got back to it.
Oh, and got back.
And got back.
Got back. Well, let's see, that eliminates.
And I'm telling you, people like Cam Newton.
It eliminates Matt Ryan.
Neil O'Donnell, Matt Ryan. Those are guys that didn't make it back. The guy that died, Steve McNair. It's a bunch of these guys. But there have been four that have done it. You give me two. Give me the last two. The last two are kind of modern-day players, and you can remember them. You should be able to remember them right offhand.
I'm stumped. I really am.
No, you're not. We went over this yesterday. I'm just putting it out there for the fans now.
I know, but I don't mean,
So the answer for you out there who are not thinking.
I wasn't paying attention yesterday.
Yeah, Jim Kelly went to four in a row and lost all four.
Yep.
John Elway, I think, lost his first three before he won his last two.
First three, that's correct, yeah.
Fran Tarkenton was one. He lost two in a row. But he got back with Minnesota. I think they lost to Pittsburgh 1 year, and they lost to the Raiders the next year or somewhere in that. It was the Raiders and Pittsburgh they lost to, but I can't remember which one was first. And I think it's one more, Lynn Dawson. He lost Super Bowl one, then they won Super Bowl four, I think.
Came back and beat the Vikings.
Came back and beat the Vikings. And Joe Capp was doing the Vikings, then it wasn't Tarkenton. So those are the four quarterbacks that have lost the first one and got back. So that's trivia for you people out there.
I'm stunned.
I know. Now, speaking of more quarterback and trivia and Pro Bowl stuff, I'm glad we are doing this again today because Jared Goff has been appointed to the Pro Bowl. So that's four Lions now going out to the Pro Bowl.
Four Lions?
Yes. So you've got Amara St. Brown, Ragnow, Penny Sewell, and Jared Goff will all be doing this. They're not playing a game this year, but thank God the horrid game is over. But it's like a skills competition and just a thing to commemorate the Pro Bowlers, and they're having it this weekend.
Well, I guess that's four for the Lions. What stands out with that, Ken?
Stands out that
they're all on offense.
They're all on offense, yeah. I didn't think of that. They're all on offense. I was going to say that shows that your young talent is improving and that you're starting to get recognition throughout the league. That's what it looks to me.
Right, and three of them have been drafted by the Lions. The other one was obviously acquired in a trade. Yeah, so it says something. I don't know what, but it says something.
Yeah. It's better than going there not seeing a Lion helmet at all. I guess they won't be wearing helmets anyway, so anyway. But anyway, that's good for the Lions. Good for the Lions.
Sure.
Another thing I saw, the cap went up. I'm glad we're doing this again because this all happened yesterday.
It went
Monday.
Up, it skyrocketed.
The cap went up, $16 million to $224 million?
Well, 16%.
16%. I thought it went up to 16 million. Wasn't it 208 last year?
I thought they said 16%.
Okay, but it's went up
well,
a lot.
Whatever.
Yeah, went up a lot. 224 million.
Yeah.
I was asking you this yesterday. What was the cap of the first year they ever had the cap, Mike?
The free agency started in 1993, just for a little background here. Free agency started in 1993 without a salary cap. The salary cap took effect in 1994, and it's either 34 million or 39 million. I forget which. It was one of those two.
Wow.
So it was probably 34, right? I mean, there are 12 quarterbacks who make more than that now.
Right.
So
in almost 30 years, it's gone up. 200 million almost. Well, a little
closer
to 20 million. It's amazing. That is amazing.
600%.
That's a strong league. That's a strong league for you right there. Also, I saw some stats came out. The Lions will have the 10th most cap space available, or 13th most cap space available. Somewhere between 10 and 13, depends on, there's some variances in there. And they're the second youngest team in the league right now. That is not a bad way to go into the offseason. I mean, we were just talking, you got young talent, you got a winning record, and you got cap space, and you got momentum. This is shaping up to be real good.
Well, this could be, I can't say it's going to be one of the most exciting off seasons because, the Lions have been, going after free agents for a long time and high draft picks, so that's they're used to that. But this is really a significant offseason, and I think the fans can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's burning bright. It really is. This is not a team that needs a wholesale overhaul anymore. It's a team that needs a little bit more than fine-tuning. I wouldn't just say fine-tuning, but one or two key additions and then some fine-tuning around that. A lot of it depends on who they bring in, who they sign, and a lot of it depends on who they keep, who they bring back.
Well, they got to be careful because in my lifetime, I thought that the Barry Sanders era players, they stayed too long with them at the end. When Bobby, they got rid of a couple, but they stayed with that core too long. Once the late 90s started coming up, the mid to late 90s came up, that team from the first half of the 90s, that was the time to make the run. When that run didn't happen, I thought they stayed with that team too long, and then you ended up what happened in 99 with that Chicago game and Herman Moore and, dropping the ball and everything, and it just Moeller and that whole thing. It just stayed too long. So you got to be careful when you got this young core, how long you plan on keeping them and, when to move on, when to add veterans to the core, when to stay young and just try to develop. There's a lot of things you got to do. One of these, you can't do a wrong move. You don't want to bring in a bunch of veterans this offseason trying to go for it next year, and then your team is, you're not as young as you were. Your young players didn't get better. You're dependent on veterans, the Jamie Collins types and these guys that, just got paid and don't do anything. So you got to be careful. You got to add the right players.
Kenny, I can't agree with you on this one. I really can't. And I'll tell you why. I mean, some of what you're saying is accurate, but look at the guys who were gone after the 95 season. Benny Blades, one more year in 96. Chris Spielman was gone after 95. Lomas Brown was gone after 95. A couple of quarterback turnovers, they were gone. So I think they massaged the roster pretty well. I really do. And they kept it. They were still winning games. They were, 9-7 in the 2000 season, would have made the playoffs against the Bears late. They hadn't been for a 55-yard field goal or whatever it was.
Yeah, but that team wasn't going anywhere, Mike. It was 9-7, but it wasn't going anywhere. That's what I'm saying. That the team they patchworked it. They brought in James Stewart and these guys. They patchworked it to be a 9-7 team, maybe make the playoffs. But the run where when Green Bay accelerated and the Lions flatlined. When the Lions were that young team, the Cowboys and Lions after 91 were the young teams. Cowboys went up and won Super Bowls. Lions flatlined. Once that period was over, and like you said, after Lomas and all these guys left, they should have just got rid of, the older guys and started to retool then. They tried the patchwork. And that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful to do. You got to know when you got your core when that run is over.
I'm honest, I just can't agree because I think you're overlooking the key factor in the rise of both of those teams. Troy Aikman in Dallas, Brett Favre in Green Bay. Those became the dominant teams
No, I'm just saying why. I'm just saying, yeah, but also Lions didn't get Reggie White. I'm going to tell you right now, you can agree with me or not. And Reggie White, if you guys remember, the Lions, Wayne Fonts had him at the basketball game, and they were talking to him. If they would have got Reggie White and Green Bay didn't, even with the quarterback situation the same way, the Lions extend and Green Bay doesn't. That one move.
Well, I agree with that. I think Reggie White was the most impactful free agent signed in the history of free agency. Really, I think he was. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now we can get into, you know, Deion Sanders later and all that, but this, they came out of the Packers did came out of the gate with Reggie White, and that really transformed that team. It didn't just take it one step up. It took it two or three steps up.
Right.
Even Brett Favre said that was the key signing. That was the key addition.
Right. And you got to remember
the face of that team.
It took off with him, and they lost Sterling Sharpe. They had lost Sterling Sharpe before they won the title. So that shows you that Reggie White was the key, because the team up to the point before Reggie White was Sterling Sharpe and Brett Favre and, you know, Amon Green and these guys, the running backs. That when they lost their second best player and still won the Super Bowl. So.
Well, 1996, I think it was when they won the Super Bowl.
Right. And remember, Sharpe went out the year before that with the neck injury. He wasn't on the championship team.
It was 1994, I think.
97 is when they won the championship. I think it was 97, yeah. Or 98. I know I was at that game in New Orleans when Andre Rison and Desmond Howard did their thing.
Desmond Howard was the MVP of the Super
Bowl.
Right,
and Andre Rison caught the first touchdown because they brought Rison in. So anyway, we all be going to history, but that's what I'm saying with this offseason to me. This is the core you're going with. Supplement the core for your run. Right now, the Lions should be thinking, we're going to have a 4 or 5 year run right now. Unless, you know, injuries happen, things happen. But this core, we're going to add to this, and that counts with the draft pick coming up. These core young guys, this is the core we're going with. This is the run we're going to make. But don't sell out to these old veterans to patchwork them in, like the Swilling thing that didn't work. It worked for a year. It didn't work. And then you lost Willie Rolfe that becomes a Hall of Famer. So be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful when you make picks.
Okay. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think we've got the cart about 9 miles ahead of the horse.
It is. But to me, the Swilling
– 10 miles.
The Swilling Lion pick that year, the trade, is similar to this year because it's the fifth pick then. There's a temptation to unload that pick for a veteran, and the Lions unloaded that pick for the defensive player of the year, I think 2 years before, and it sounded good in paper, and that was the last key to them, you know, moving out. You got your defensive stud, and then it doesn't work, and that puts you back. Kansas City takes Willie Rolfe. He becomes a Hall of Famer. Your left tackle situation is covered for the next 15 years. So that's what you got to be careful with.
Well, okay.
And wait a minute. And I'm saying this, and I do want him to try to trade for Jalen Ramsey. So I'm being kind of hypocritical on this, but I'm not being hypocritical because I'm not being hypocritical to that sixth pick. I'm not touching that. I'm making that pick. I'm not trading that.
Let me just go one thing back on that trade. Look, he made the Pro Bowl that year. The Lions went 10-6. They won a division. It worked.
It didn't work, Mike. It did not work. They didn't trade for him for 1 year.
No.
You don't trade a fifth pick in the draft for 1 year or seven, whatever the pick was. I know it was the top 10.
I think it was eight.
Eight. You don't trade that for 1 year. And they got one good year out of him. Hell, they got one good year out of Broderick Thomas. You know, they didn't have to trade for him. You know, they got one good year out of him.
I'll tell you what, that was a 1 year signing.
Yeah.
It was 1 year coming in. He couldn't get the deal he wanted. He came into Detroit at the last minute. Lions gave him a good 1 year contract with they weren't going to lock him up for any long period of time. And I think he signed with Minnesota after. Maybe it was Houston after that. Got a big contract from them. But boy, he was a good ball player.
I'm just saying that. So it does happen. So looking at that, like I said, sixth pick to me is a lock. I'm taking it unless a team is giving me the the bounty of the century to move down a few spots, but I'm taking a top, you know, pick this year. Second pick is all negotiation for me. 18 is on the table for trade, move up, move down, anything. I'm ready for that. For a veteran, if you want to, I'm good with that.
So you would trade the draft pick for a veteran player?
18.
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, I would trade 18 for. If I'm taking six, a player, yeah, I would trade 18 for a veteran, for the right veteran. And you and me agree to this too now. When we're talking right veterans, now I'm being hypocritical again because Jalen Ramsey's 28. But the right veteran to me is like a 26-year-old at the most. Jalen Ramsey excluded.
I want a guy on his second. If they're going to do that, I think the Lions ought to be a guy on his second contract.
The beginning of his second contract, not the end of it.
Well, on his second contract. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So that's the only measurement with that trade, because I fear, and for people, this is Tuesday we're recording this. Jamal Williams was on Good Morning Football today. He said some very interesting things about how being a leader on the team and how he tried to show young guys how to play football and what it meant. And go back and listen to it today if they'll be running or find a copy of it somewhere. But he was saying what I'm saying now about you got to teach young guys how to win. You got to teach them how to be pros. And that part, I worry about them being so young that slips away in this next year. Do you think I'm worried out of hand, or is that something Dan Campbell's got to be thinking about?
I think you're worried out of hand. That's part of what I think you saw. I think you saw that develop in the second half of this last season here when they went 8-2 in the last 10 games, and we're playing what we've been talking about for years, meaningful games in December. They were playing meaningful games in January. So no, I don't worry about that. Now, you can do what the 2012 team did, coming off a 10-6 season and a playoff berth, and they went 4-12.
Right.
4-4 at the halfway point and lost 8 straight games.
Right.
But that was still to some degree a veteran team too. So no, I don't worry about that. I really don't.
Yeah.
First of all, it doesn't do any good to worry about it.
I just think that, like you said, with the turnover of a team, what's a 30% turnover which they're probably going to have?
Well, free agency, that's the old formula. One third of the free agents on your team will re-sign. One third will sign with another team, and the other one third will never play again.
So you figure out of a 53 man roster,
17 players, you know, something like
you're
that.
You're going to change 17 players?
Well, no, you're not, because I'm just saying they're not all free agents. You're not going to have a 30-year roster is going to be free agents or whatever.
No, but just change over, period, and then cuts and everything, right? So you're saying probably a 30-year roster will be new next year?
No, this one third pertains to free agents. That's not the entire. It's not a formula.
Well, how many do you think new players in a year they're on a roster? New players. When it's all said and done, how many different players that weren't there the year before will be on an opening day roster?
Well, I think it depends entirely on what stage of development your franchise is.
Well, where the Lions are now, how many do you think they'll change out?
10, 12, something
10, 12.
Like that.
Okay. So
that's just a guess.
Okay, well, that's a fifth. You're saying a fifth of the team will be new.
Yeah, something like
that.
Just
a guess, right? I mean, sure, it's a guess. A fifth of the team will be new. And they don't have any age-out players this year, I don't think. You know, guys that are retiring or...
No, don't think so.
You know, 30, late, old. I think the oldest... Well, Brockers will be leaving, but that's by choice.
Michael Brockers, yeah.
He's the oldest. Yeah. I think he's the oldest player of the... You know, now you're talking about long snappers, like kickers or punters, but the oldest player of the everyday, you know, offense, defense players, so...
Right, I think he's the only player on the roster in this last season who was 30 or older.
Right,
I think he's the only one, which
is interesting. All right, Mike. So it's draft Senior Bowl week. You'll be hearing a lot about prospects down there. Stetson Bennett, Georgia quarterback, should have went instead of staying home and getting drunk and arrested. He would have had a better week in Mobile. You know, at least he would have stayed out of trouble.
Isn't there a song from Memphis to Mobile?
Yeah, but I am interested in looking at some of these quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, because to me, if you're not going to get one of those top guys, it's going to be an unheralded senior quarterback that you're going to draft. I just think that's what Holmes is going to do. Brad is going to do. I just got a feeling.
I don't think this is a banner year for quarterbacks either. I really don't. I mean, they all have they all have their questions about all of them. I think whether it's, you know, size or whatever. But in other words, I think it's better than last year when you only had one quarterback drafted in the first round. But I don't think it's, even if you might have, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the first round, I don't think it's a banner year. I really don't.
No, but is it ever really a banner year? It's always a couple of guys at the top. And then it's a bunch of question marks. And you know what? Some of the question marks, like Lamar Jackson was a question mark.
I don't even think he was a question mark, really. I mean, I think they were shocked when they traded up to get him with the 32nd pick. It didn't seem to me like he really figured with anybody.
Right.
I like the guy. Don't get me
wrong. I'm just saying, though. So there's always questions of these quarterbacks, but somebody gets them. And they develop, and you know, like a David Carr, you might think he's a failure, but he was a second round pick that got a big second contract and has played some good ball in the league. There are guys out there, but you have to invest in them and you have to put the time into them.
Well, just go back 2 years when there were three quarterbacks drafted, 1, 2, 3. How they turned out? The one guy's done well, you know, Trevor Lawrence. The other two guys, one's been hurt.
Zach Wilson hasn't done anything. Yeah.
And
Mac Jones ain't exactly, you know, he's question marks on him, too. So that was another one in that first round. You got to take him. That's the only bad part about it. You can't say, well, I'll wait the next year and wait the next year. Next thing you know, you're 5 years down the line, you've been waiting, and you don't have anything in the pipeline. So you got to go find one. And I hope that's what they're doing down in Mobile. They're looking at. I hope they're looking at defensive linemen. Hope they're looking at corners. Hope they're looking at linebackers, and I hope they're looking at quarterbacks.
I think they're looking at everybody.
And a kicker.
Well, they bring in, 2, 3, 4 kickers every year anyway, even when they have one. So that'll work its way out.
I think they might want to draft one this year. I think they might want to get one late in the draft. And I'll tell you, as a guy – about 45 minutes up the road in Ann Arbor. That
kid from Michigan.
Yeah,
Moody.
I think I wouldn't mind getting a flyer on him. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because I want to see.
He had a terrific college career. It's a different game. But he's had a,
why is really it a different game? Everybody says that, but what it was?
Because it is. The ball is different. The game is a little bit different. Yeah, it's different.
Is it? Because it seemed to me that I know what they say it is, and I know there's reasons for it, but to me, if you can kick, you can kick. But I agree. I'm not arguing with you, but I just wonder, is that what it is, getting it off quicker? And
it's different. It's a different ball.
Okay, but it's still, you're kicking it. You're kicking it on the same spot in the middle. ball could be 5 pounds heavier or 2 pounds lighter. It's still you're kicking it in the middle and kicking it between those two poles.
It's okay. I give up.
Give up on it. All right, so that's going to be the Cater Podcast for this week. Go ahead, say it. Say it. Say it.
I'm just trying to smarten you up, and you won't let me.
Yeah, give me next week. That's your assignment for homework. Find out why it's harder to kick in the pros than in college.
I already told you.
No, I want scientific fact. I don't want the Michael here. I thought I want scientific fact. Why it's harder to kick? So you got homework.
I don't do much thinking.
You got homework. All right, Mike. DetroitLions.com. Check him out. I see you had your mock draft up there, so you can go. What top 10 picks you put up?
Top 18.
Okay, so check Michael Hare out there. Read about the Senior Bowl coverage from the great writers at DetroitLions.com, and you'll see us on the Mitch Album Show on WJR 760. All right, Mike, have a good week.
Okay, you too.
All right.